And a few of those guys on there you saw have come from prison. So it's just introducing them into a new life, really. And it is a long walk, but it's encouraging to see how Jesus breaks into people's lives and transforms lives. And it'd be great to see oaks of righteousness, wouldn't it? Because those are the people that Jesus changes, and then they go and tell others. So, you know, if you want to pray for us, just take a card. And we'll soon be getting a regular prayer letter out and stuff like that. So if that's something that interests you, come and speak to me, and we'll see what we can do. I'm a bit nervous because I know there's a few farmers around here. I don't claim to be a farmer, and you may have seen things that we were doing wrong. Please forgive me, but farmers we are not. We're trying to be, but okay. Well, I was just... I've just been praying about what I should bring this morning. And there's been a lot going on, isn't there, in our country. And there's just been a bit of a conflict, isn't it, that we're approaching Christmas time. And when we remember Jesus coming into this world as Saviour. And then we're also a country that is at war. And it just seems to be a massive conflict going on. And I've just been reading Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk, which is one of the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament. And it was just really interesting just looking at him. I'll just read the first six verses of chapter one and then the first four verses of chapter two. And it says this: "The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounded the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." And this is the Lord's answer. "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." And Habakkuk, I'll just leave it there. I'll go into the next chapter in a second. Habakkuk was in a point, the prophet, where he was wailing with despair. He was seeing violence and he was seeing the evil prosper. And he was saying, "Why, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening?" And he was even perplexed. "God, why are you not doing anything?" And then the Lord comes to him and answers at him and says, it's just amazing, isn't it? I just cut this into this verse five. It says, "Look, watch and see. Be utterly astounded, for I am doing a work in your days." And do you know what? That's the same for us today. For us to look and watch the Lord, wait for him, be utterly astounded, for he's doing a work in our days, doing a work in our lives. And it says here, "For indeed," he says, "I am raising up the Chaldeans. For indeed I am dot, dot, dot." You know, the Lord is doing a work in our days. He's enthroned in the heavens and he wants us to look to him and spend time with him to see what he is doing. I don't know about you, but that verse has really encouraged me. You know, and as we see strife going on all around us, we can get embroiled in that, can't we, and get dragged into it. People want opinions. And I just want to encourage you this morning just to look to the Lord, okay? Because I'm not Prime Minister. Lots of those decisions aren't mine to make. But I'd say, look, I'm looking to the Lord, and I want you to show me, Lord, what you want me to do. Okay, and he wants us to be utterly astounded. I want to give you an example of this. I want you to give an example of that. We will stay in Habakkuk at some point, but I want to go back to Joshua. You know, Joshua chapter 5. You know the story, the children of Israel have come out of bondage. God has released them. He's provided a way out after the plagues. They were going through and parted the Red Sea, went through the Red Sea, and they come in to possess the promised land. And they've got Jericho in front of them, haven't they? And Joshua is in charge. And I'm just wondering what happens at that point, whether Joshua's got plans on whether to take the city, how to take the city. The military men are getting their heads together. But we read in chapter 5, I'll just read this. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or an adversary?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did. And I find that really amazing, in the fact that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Now, that's a good question, isn't it? That's a good question, because he is waiting for an answer from the Lord, because he wants to be a man of faith. And, you know, I just want to encourage you today that we are saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay? And then we can have lots of discussions about the future and what will happen at the end times. Okay? But we have a Lord who is present with us today. And that's a good question in how we should live our lives today. Lord, what would you have your servant do today? And we've got a Lord and a King who wants to speak to us and give us revelation today about what we should do. And I just find that absolutely amazing that we have got a Saviour who wants to invade your life and wants to invade your situation today for you to see his glory in his situation. I often, this is the way I read the Bible. I try and play a part in this. I try and imagine what I would be like if I was Joshua. You know, particularly as men, we'd have had a military plan to storm it. And you know what? Sometimes when we plan, we rob ourselves of seeing God's glory. Okay? Because Joshua did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. "I'm your servant. I'm going to listen to you, Lord. Okay? What would you have me do?" And the Lord said, "I want you to march around that city and worship me." Now, Joshua wouldn't have thought of this himself, would he? This wouldn't have been his plan if he had a plan of his own. Okay? You don't do that, do you? But he was honouring what God told him to do. He marched round there, and what happened? The walls of the city came tumbling down. Okay, I want to go back to Habakkuk. "Look to me, watch and see, and be utterly astounded by what I do." Okay? "Because indeed I am doing something that you wouldn't even imagine if I told you." Okay? And, you know, I just know God has been speaking to me. Because, you know, some of those folks that you've seen on the video, I've got nothing to say to those people. But I think, Lord, I just want to look to you and I want to be open to what you say to me to give to them. Because my plans are futile. Okay? They're absolutely futile. And gods are amazing. Okay? You know, I'm not saying Joshua was thinking any of these things, but he may have thought, "Oh, we'll attack this section of wall." Okay? God brings all the walls down. The whole city was destroyed. Be utterly amazed. And, you know, we're going to be looking a little bit later about pride, but faith is hearing what God wants us to say. And is that the theme of our lives? Habakkuk really is seen as the Doubting Thomas book of the Old Testament, if you like. And I just want to be in that point where I'm just seeking the Lord. And you know, I was saying this morning, just singing that song, "Come Let Us Sing of His Wondrous Love." I just knew God was speaking to me through that hymn and his amazing grace. And just to be in that position where we just think, yeah, God, I just need to hear from you today and just to know you speaking. I just gave that example of Joshua. I'll give you just an example for me. my wife and I, we were looking for a new car. And when I say a new car, we don't get new cars. We had about 800 quid for a car. And we bought this car, and unfortunately, it was a bit of a nail. We got conned. And it only lasted 4 months. So we were in a bit of trouble because we had to scrap it, and we got no car. And I was thinking to myself, right, Lord, what's going to happen here? We've got no car. We really need a car to take the children to school and all that sort of stuff. And the next day, the minister of the church we go to had an email from a chap in Bromsgrove, and he said, "I'm getting rid of a car. Does anybody in your congregation need a car?" And you know, and that car, it was a Volvo Estate, a beautiful car, and it ended up coming to us. And I just say that because it says, look to the Lord, Dave, and be astounded. For I'm doing a work in a bloke's heart in Bromsgrove that you know nothing about. And if I told you about this before, you wouldn't have believed me, and I wouldn't have. And do you know what the worrying bit about this was? If I'd have got 800 quid or £1,000, I would have gone and bought a car and would have taken a risk, because you know when you buy cars that price, you don't know whether they're any good or not. You're taking a big risk. And it just hit me that, in the fact that, you know, I can try and sort these things out, but look to the Lord and be astounded, because I'm doing a work that will blow your mind. And it just really spoke to me, that some of the times if I got £800, I wouldn't have gone to the Lord, because, Lord, leave this car business to me. And I don't mean that in an arrogant, well, that's pride, isn't it? And God is saying, come to me. I want to invade your life, okay? And I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. And you know what? In that, I know that I've got a saviour who's even a mechanic who knows a car's better than I do. I don't know cars at all, you know. But that's how good our saviour is. And he wants to invade our lives today. And, you know, in this book of Habakkuk, God reveals a philosophy of life that is beautiful in simplicity and rich in reward, and it's faith. He wants to spend time with us. He wants you to spend time with him. So he reveals his revelation to us. I was looking at a verse in Romans 6, and it says this: now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall all also live with him. Okay? That's not talking about a future. You know, when we go to glory with him, that's talking about the present. You know, we can have lots of discussions on creation, and I love those. We can have lots of discussions about end times. I'm not so keen on those. Because I have to be careful what I say there. I know I'm going to glory. I don't know how it's all going to end. But we put a God of the present as well, who wants to live with us and invade our lives right now. And I just find that so encouraging. You know, when we're approaching a Christmas period, aren't we, where we remember Jesus coming in humility to the world as a saviour, okay? And he came, okay, to reveal what Father God is like. And through his death, burial and resurrection, we may have life, and life with him. And now Jesus is ascended, returned to heaven, and he's left his spirit with us. The comforter, the guide, the teacher. And God is speaking today. He is very much speaking today. And, you know, I was, where are we? We're December the 6th. Do I talk about Christmas yet, or is it too early? I never know. But, you know, in Luke 2, I just find how God was speaking to people there, his heart for people. Who did he speak to? He spoke to the shepherds, didn't he? He spoke to the shepherds. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." It's as if they had a discussion about going. They heard God and they decided that they were going to go and see. It's faith in action. Over the page in Luke 2 as well, you've got Simeon. Okay, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. I'll miss a few verses. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon had received the word of God, and by faith he knew it to be true. And he did, because he saw the Lord, didn't he? And you know, God speaking is right there at the beginning of time, and it's here today. You know, I just think of the creation of the earth. I just think of this verse really speaks to me. The earth was without form. It was chaos, and there was darkness. Then what happened? God spoke. And what happened? You've almost got the reversal of that, haven't you? So it was without form. There was form. He started to bring form. There was chaos. Then there was order. And there was darkness. And there was light. Okay? And I see that with the people I meet today. I see people without form. Society is telling them that they're useless. There's nothing for them. Okay? Their lives are chaotic and they're in darkness. And my heart is to bring the word of Jesus to those lives, to transform them, to turn them round, to bring form. And that's what the farm is acting as, really, to bring form, to bring order, to bring the light of Jesus into people's lives. And do you know what? That is for you as well. Does anybody ever feel a bit chaotic, a situation that may bring chaos? Yeah. We need the word of God. Something that we're thinking, "I don't know what I'm doing here. Form without form. Lord, bring some form to this. Lord Jesus, by revelation, speak to us, I pray." Okay? And in that, folks, we need to be more community-minded with one another. Can I pray for your brother? Can I pray for your sister? And be vulnerable. You know, I was reading a book. It's a book about Jonathan Aitken. Can you remember Jonathan Aitken, the Tory minister who went to prison for perjury? I haven't read his book, but I was reading another book that mentioned his book and this quote, so it's all a bit confusing. But when he came out of prison, he got together with his family and his children over a period of time. And his children said that they preferred a father who was vulnerable than a father who was powerful. And that hit me. That hit me with parenting and spiritually as well. Vulnerability is important. Okay? Because the powerful comes with pride. I can do this. And we're going to have a little bit look. I want to go back to Habakkuk. Sorry, I'm all over the place here today, but we'll get there. We'll get there. And it says this in chapter 2 of Habakkuk. "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for me, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith.'" Okay, the just shall live by faith. But there's a warning here, and the warning is pride. The warning is about the proud. Okay, and these people in Habakkuk, all right, they'd dishonored God, they'd forgotten God, and they believed in themselves. And it says in verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? Basically, the mankind had turned his back on God and fallen below the animals. Fallen below the animals with their violence and their evil, evil ways. We see that today, folks. And it's because they're not honouring God. Okay, they fall below the animals. And you know, pride is the attitude of life that declares its ability to live without God. It's an attitude of life that declares its ability to live without God. Can I say I've been there? And in situations, we can all be like that, can't we? And God wants to, he wants to invade those in situations for you to see his glory. Okay, I was just thinking of two men who had amazing, well, they were men of, they were very proud men, and they were the two Herods. Can you remember the first Herod, Herod the Great? When Jesus was born, what happened to him? What was his heart? What did he want to do? He wanted to kill the baby, didn't he? I want to destroy that baby. Why? Because I'm not a believer. I don't want God. It's about me on the throne. Okay? Now, we may not be like Herod. We may not want to destroy. But there are times where we're thinking, I'm on the throne here, folks. And God wants to be on the throne and needs to be on the throne. Okay? His heart was to destroy. Herod Antipas, his son. Okay, this is a really interesting bit. I found this really interesting. He was at the death of Christ. Can you remember when they were trying Jesus? Right, and Jesus went to, he was sent to Herod. What did Herod do to Jesus at his trial? Sorry, I'm asking you some questions. It doesn't matter. Be bold and answer. What did he do? Yeah. He mocked him, didn't he? He mocked him, he put a robe on him, and was basically taking the mitre out of Jesus, wasn't he? He was mocking him. Can you tell me what Jesus did? How did Jesus reply? He wouldn't say a thing. He didn't say a word. Now, do you know why Jesus wouldn't say a word to him? Because Jesus resists the proud. He resists the proud. Okay? It's really interesting. If you look at those two Herods, they were both Edomites. Okay? Edomites are descendants of Esau. Okay? Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Not interested in you, God. I'm more interested in my belly, my entertainment, and this soup. Okay? That was his heart. And you see how that, in a man, became evident in a nation. Okay? And it just grew. Started a man, now in a nation. And if you read the book of Obadiah, sorry folks, I am going all over the place, but it's exciting. I don't, well, you may not be excited, I'm excited. But it says this in Obadiah. Okay? Don't worry, you won't find it. It's one page thick. It's one of those nightmare books that you're thinking, just open your Bible and pretend you're reading from it, and it looks good. And it said, behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you say in your heart, you will not bring me down to the ground. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down. So these Edomites, they were in a fortress, in a rock, thinking, nobody can touch me. We are safe as houses, okay? And do you know what? God brought that country down, okay? Because of their pride. I don't need you, God. I don't need you. I can do this myself, okay? Go away. And God saw their heart. It's the same with Herod's here, okay? And folks, we may not be at this, be like them, but sometimes we can have pride in their heart. Can I say I do? I can do this bit, God. You don't need me. I don't need you at this point. And I want to be a man of faith that hears what God's got to say to me. And Lord, forgive me for my pride. And God wants us to be a people of faith who just live by faith. I see your strap line is all about faith, isn't it? And, you know, we just need to look to him. And there are different forms of faith. You just sit there, don't look at these. I'll just read them out for you. Okay, I'm conscious I've gone all over the place. But it says in Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of the gospel to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Remember that phrase there? That was in Habakkuk. But we see it now in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. Okay? And that is talking about a faith that saves. Okay? A faith that saves. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world. Okay? Who rescued me from my sin. Okay? And give me life. Life right here, right now, today. And that is the saving faith that God talks about. And the faith, need to know that Jesus takes away my sin. Okay? I have all kinds of accusations in my mind that tell me that hasn't gone. But by faith, I know it's true because that's what God has told me. Doesn't matter what man says, my God has forgiven me. By faith we are saved. And in Galatians 3:11, I haven't got a marker in this one, so I'm in a bit of trouble. Galatians 3:11. This same phrase that was in Habakkuk, you know, the phrase that says, "The just shall live by faith." It says here, in verse 10, "For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Okay? "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." Okay? Live by faith. Okay? And what this is meaning is not by law. Okay? We're living in relationship with the living God. Okay? And I want to talk to you about the Father there. The Father. Okay? It's a father-child relationship. He hasn't gone away, gone to work and given us some rules to live by. It's that relationship, that heart-to-heart relationship with the Lord Jesus. To reveal things to us and to show us what to do in life and to lead us. And that is relationship, folks. It's really interesting. You know, I've got four children myself. Sometimes I can be under law with my children. Don't, do, you know, and all those things. And I wrestle with myself and how I bring them up. It's to teach them. It's to love them. It's to reveal things to them. Okay? And walk with them. Okay? The greatest problem we have in our lives today is time. Time. And I could almost say to them, "I haven't got time, just do this, do that, and let me do what I want to do." But it isn't about that, it's about relationship. And do you know what, that's what it is with God today, okay? Spend time with him. Get into his word and see what he says to you. And just be open-hearted, because he wants to give you revelation today, tomorrow, and the next day. And the Bible's full of it, full of God speaking to this person, to that person. It's God speaking to you today. Share it with the church, be encouraged by it. This is exciting. It is exciting and it encourages one another. You know, if you're thinking that God's spoken to you this week about something, share it with somebody, be encouraged. Okay? And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And Hebrews 10:38. I think I'm slowing down now with the all over the place, but it says this, "Now the just shall live by faith." That phrase again from Habakkuk. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Draws back from what? Draws back from that intimate relationship with Jesus. Okay? And that's what it's all about. You know, to accept him as Saviour, to trust him. What happens when you're trusting, God? What are you doing? You're trusting in him and not trusting in yourself. Okay? And walk by faith. Lord, speak to me. And Lord, just reveal things to me. You know, we think of Jesus, don't we, in at Christmas coming to this world, being born in the inn, outside of the main house, if you like, because there was no room. Folks, I just encourage us today to make room for him. Don't keep him on the outside, but make room for him. Because he needs to be in the throne of our lives. Okay, don't be people who are proud. Okay, I'm talking to myself there, folks. Okay, so I'm not bashing you, I'm bashing myself. Okay, and let God reveal things to you. Habakkuk was a man who was completely changed. He started off by being a man who was whinging. Okay, God spoke to him and he said this: though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labour of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Don't read that too quick. He make me walk on high heels. High heels. Okay? And Habakkuk was blown away by what? The revelation of God. Okay? God spoke to him, and he'd gone from a man of wailing despair to a man of joy. And he saw the glory of God. And folks, he was saturated with confidence and awestruck at the all-powerful, all-knowing God. And I just want to encourage us to be people of faith. Worship is important. Back in Joshua, going around worshipping God, taking our eyes off ourselves and worshipping him to see the Father's glory. And, you know, we read about the God of the Bible who was speaking to people. Our greatest problem today is if we think it stops there. We've got a God revealing things to us today. Let's get in that position where we can. And I just pray that God will bless you as a fellowship, will bless you as individuals, okay? Because, you know, particularly at Christmas time, we talk about God coming to the world. Yeah, which is amazing. I don't want to argue with that, but can I say he's come to this world for you, okay? He's come to this world for you, to change you. And then from that overflow, you can start influencing other people and blessing other people, okay? The world tends to move it away from us personally, okay? He's come for you and me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.